blessed marriage. And the way we can have a blessed marriage is to put God first. Amen? So if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. I just got two verses I'm going to preach out of by the leadership of the Holy Ghost this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I believe we'll have it on the screen. I believe so today. And man, I really appreciate you, Jaden, for putting these verses on the screen. That's a blessing. And I really appreciate your commitment and your faithfulness. That really means a lot to me. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. And I'll give you chapter 30, verse 19 through 20, and I'll give you time to turn there. Everybody say choices. Our choices decide if we are going to live in God's blessings or not. We could blame it on external circumstances or external situations, but it's your choices that you make in life that lead you to the destination that God has for you. And I don't know about you, but I want to make the right choices and I want to make the right decisions in life. And it's easy to play the blame game. How many knows it's easy to play the blame game? His fault, her fault, their fault, my fault. It's easy to play the blame game. And that's what Adam did. When Adam sinned, right, when Adam and Eve sinned, he told God, he said, "The woman you gave me caused me to do this." So the blame game started way back in the beginning. And I just want to let you know that you are responsible for your choices. You're responsible for the decisions you make, okay? So we have to get away from the blame game and own our mistakes, own up to them, and say, "God, teach me, lead me, so I don't make these mistakes again." Amen? Amen. How many knows you got to take ownership of those mistakes in your life? You got to own up to them. All right, our choices decide if we are going to live in God's blessings or not. Now, if you're a believer, you're on your way to heaven, okay? If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. How many knows there's one decision you make that'll determine if you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, you're on your way to heaven, okay? Notice I didn't just say Savior, I said Lord. Lord and Savior. Y'all with me this morning? Lord and Savior. If you're a believer, you're on your way to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be very blessed there. You're going to be very, 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 I can't say very, very enough. You're going to be very blessed there. But the issue that I'm going to touch on is in this life. The life that we're living now, a victorious life. Let's go ahead and read verse 19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," what does it say? Choose. So it's a choice. It's a choice we all have to make. Nobody's making us make the choice. We make the choice on our own. All right. "Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." And we'll read that next verse. Verse 20. "That you may love the Lord your God and you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them." Go back to verse 19. God says you have choices. Did you know that your children and your grandchildren will be affected by every decision you make? My great-grandfather, who was born back in the 1800s, can you believe that some of the decisions he made, it affected me in 2014, 2015, 2016. Your choices, you say, how can you say that? Well, let's read the scripture again. "Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." Your choice, choosing life, will be very good for the descendants. Some descendants, if the Lord tarries, that you'll never meet because you'll be in heaven. Y'all with me this morning? Your choices matter. It affects your family way, way, way down the road. They're affected by every decision you make. God says he visits the iniquities of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. All right, every decision, I'm going to say it again, every decision that I make will affect my great-grandchildren, third and fourth generation. When I choose blessing, listen, when you choose blessing, it's not just for you. It's for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. You got to choose the blessing. You got to choose Jesus. You got to choose life. Every decision you make is so important. You have a choice. And let's go to John chapter 1, verse 14. How many choices we have? Blessing and cursing, right? We have life and death. Who's going to choose life? Who's going to choose blessing? I'm going to choose those. That's a choice that I'm going to make. John chapter 1, verse 14. And we'll connect these, and we'll connect the Old Testament to the New Testament. John 1:14. And the Word, who is that? Christ Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. These are the choices we have to make in our family, in our marriage. We have to make the choice of grace and the choice of truth in our lives, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to teach this morning on what grace means. Some of us know what we know intellectually what it means, but we don't know what it means in our heart when you've experienced grace. Grace means a non-performance relationship, a non-performance-based relationship. It means not having to perform to get favor in a relationship. Grace, let me say it again. Grace means not having to perform to get favor in a relationship. Grace, God gave you grace. You did no performance. You didn't work for it. It's total sheer grace. This is why we say it's not by works but by grace, lest any man should boast, right? That's what we believe. That's what we preach. All right. There's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy means I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Y'all with me? Grace means I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Mercy paid my debts, and God's grace made me rich. Did y'all catch that? See, he's not going to give me. Mercy paid my debt, what I owed. But grace goes above and beyond that. He doesn't just give you mercy, but he gives you favor in a relationship. That's the reason why when you receive the blessing of God, guys, it ain't nothing you performed on your own. It was all God. Everybody say it's all God. It's grace. Mercy and grace. Listen, I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and God paid the debt and then more. God does not relate to us based on our performance. You should write that down in your notebook or post it on Facebook. God does not relate to us based on our performance. And to live in God's blessing, we need to understand what grace is. You cannot get closer to God than your concept of him will allow. And most of us believe God is mad at us. And we have this concept of God that he relates to us based on performance, based on works. And we think God's mad at us because we never can do enough for God, can we? We never can do enough for God. We fall short. Guys, you need grace. You need grace in your life. See, some of us think, well, Pastor Sam, this is very basic. Well, we need to get back to the basics so that way we can have a foundation for deeper revelation. Amen, church. You got to understand, you got to have a foundation. Everybody say mercy. Everybody say grace. See, most of us believe, as I said, that God is mad at us. Most of us came out of a performance-based background. In our family, our upbringing, our raising. If you did good, you got loved better. And if you did bad, you got clobbered. Y'all with me? If you did good, then we're going to love you more. If you did bad, we're going to love you less. That's the same mentality that we bring into our relationship with God. Does God love me less or more when I do good? Y'all with me? His love, is it constant or is it changing? Wow. I really hope you guys know the answer to that. God's love is constant. It's grace, unmerited favor. You don't earn it. You can't perform for it. Listen, guys, our relationship, we bring this relationship of a performance-based law into our marriage, into our relationships. That if you don't meet my need or if you don't do this, then I'm not going to love you like I did. And my love for you is a little less right now because of the way I'm being treated right now in this relationship. Everybody say grace. Grace. It's powerful. Grace is so powerful. See, I feel bad for the bondage that these commercials, these infomercials, the world puts us in today. You know, they got this fit-looking guy, and he's like, I got all these muscles, and get this exercise machine, and you can look this way. No, he looked that way because he probably went to the gym every day and did exercises on different stuff. Y'all still with me? You could get this very white teeth. Y'all with me? You get very white teeth, and everything is performance, guys. Everything's comparison. You can look this way. Now, I'm not against getting fit. Amen, church. Amen. Bodily exercise, the Bible says, profits little. So it does profit, but little, very little. But guys, the point I'm making here, and I want you to listen close, the point I'm making is that the whole world is inundated with performance. Y'all with me? It is soaked. Our culture is soaked, enriched. Got to get first place. I got to look the best. I got to have the best. And we bring that mentality into our relationship, and we put expectations on our spouse that they can't even carry. Guys, it's not about performance. It's not about law. It's about grace. Everybody say that with me. It's not about law. It's about grace. That's why Jesus said we're not under law. We're under grace. Law is about how much I can do for God. Grace is how much God has done for me. There's a difference. See, you gotta focus on what grace is. It's powerful. It's so powerful. And we gotta bring that concept. Everybody say concept. That's our perspective. We've got to bring that concept into our marriage. We've got to bring that mentality into our relationship. Guys, I don't want to be in a performance-based marriage. I want to be in a grace-based marriage. Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, when we're under the bondage of performance, it's terrible. The bondage of performance is, if you do better, I'll love you better. That's performance, guys. That's law. That's wrong. Listen, the Father loves you. Listen, you don't have to get your act together to come to God. See, I'm preaching grace this morning, and it's so foreign to us to preach this way, because we're always preaching on how we can make ourselves acceptable to God. Listen, you don't have to get your act together to come to God. You come to God messed up, messed up, hurting, miserable, broken, disgusted, sick. You come to God, and the Father's like, come on up here, sit beside me. Let's have a conversation. See, we have this mindset that we got to make ourselves somehow good to come to God. And guys, that's not how it works. We don't make ourselves good. Grace is all about going to people who are hurting, who are broken, who are not saved. Y'all get the point? Y'all get the point this morning? That's grace. Grace is so powerful. Everybody say this with me. Unmerited favor. Right? In order to live in grace, I have to receive it and give it away. You're going to have grace. You're going to have to give away a lot of grace in your life. You're going to have to give away a lot of grace. Y'all with me? See, people will fail you every day. Every week, people will fail you. And you're going to have some grace to give. And you're going to have grace to give. Grace, 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 grace. Giving grace is a lifetime. It's not just a week or two. Guys, 30 years from now, 20 years from now, you're going to have to give grace. You're going to have to keep giving grace. Pastor, I don't want to have to hear that. I don't want to hear that I'm going to have to give grace to people. That's like letting them buy with stuff. No, the grace that saves you is the grace that changes you. Amen, church. See, it's not about a performance. You come to God and say, God, fix me. I got to come to you. And you fix me and you change me. But here's the thing. We think we have to change before we get accepted. But God says, I accept you and let that change you. Amen. See, that's what grace is all about. Everybody say grace. Grace. See, I'm forgiven. And if we don't forgive, listen, y'all remember that parable where the person who didn't forgive, he was tormented? Y'all remember that parable Jesus talked about? He was tormented. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is torment. And right now, if some of you are living in unforgiveness, maybe toward your spouse, your family member, your friend, listen, you're living in torment right now, and it's tormenting you. I mean, it's eating you alive because you're not forgiving them. You got to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is, see, grace is all about forgiveness. It's all about mercy. You got to forgive. See, living in grace means living every day with this thought, I'm forgiven. I wake up in the morning, He makes His mercies new every morning. Every day when I wake up, He makes His mercies new. I'm forgiven. I'm saved by grace. But some of us wake up with a law mentality. I hope I can perform good enough today in order to gain the good riches of heaven. Performance, law. It's all about law, performance. That's the world's view. Now you say, well, Pastor Sam, you're really preaching so radical right now that I could do anything I want to do, that I can do this. No, when you live with true grace, grace will save you and change you. Salvation, y'all can post this on Facebook, okay? Salvation is never separate from transformation. Salvation is never separate from transformation. God will transform you. God will save you. He'll save you by His grace. We gotta choose to live in grace. And some of us right now, we're not living in forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness doesn't make them right. It just sets you free. Forgiveness does not make them right. And I think that's the hang-up with a lot of us today when it comes to forgiveness. We think if we forgive them, then it makes them right. It makes it right, and it's not true. It just sets us free. And we got to be willing to forgive. Until we let our past die, our future won't live. Listen, guys, we read in the Old Testament, we choose life or curse, right? Life or blessing. Blessing or curse. It's a curse. Y'all listen to me. It's a curse to live in a performance-based relationship. That's a curse. Because then your love goes up and down for your spouse and it goes up. But if you live in a grace-based relationship, you're getting unmerited favor. And the husband or the wife is not loving you based on what you can do for them. They're loving you based on their love for you. Y'all with me? Right? It doesn't matter how much money they can give or what they can do, material possessions. You know, are you doing the laundry today? If you don't do the laundry today, I'm going to get mad at you. If you don't wash the dishes, are y'all still with me? Right? Grace. Everybody say grace-based. The reason why a lot of relationships fail, because they're based on law, not grace. The reason why a lot of relationships fail is because they're based on performance, not on grace. Not on grace and mercy. You got to choose grace. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to choose grace. Grace. But you got to choose truth also. Because you can't leave out truth. So he's full of unmerited favor and unadulterated truth. Raw truth. I mean truth. See, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Truth is information to give me victorious living. That's what truth is. I'm going to use a few examples here. Like tithe, for example. Right? Now, that's not a salvation issue, but if you want to live victorious in this life, Malachi 3 says if you give a tenth of your income to God, God will take the curse off your finances. Are y'all with me? He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Giving. When you give an offering, he said, tithe and offering. Can I get an amen? Amen. He said, tithe. Now, I'm just using that as an example. That is a truth you need to live by if you're going to live victorious in this life. You're full of grace, and now you're full of truth. What if you don't steward what God has given you properly? Well, man, you're not going to live victorious in this life. But I'm going to tell you this, God still loves you the same. Well, what if I mess up? What if I don't follow that truth? What if I don't follow that principle of truth? Will God still love me less? No, He'll still love you the same. I hope y'all are really getting this morning. Because you might say, I've heard this before. Maybe we need to hear it again. God's love is constant for you. But you choose whether or not you live in victory here on earth. You can choose blessing, you can choose death or life. It's not just for you, but it's for your family. Listen, if you do the dumbest thing in the world, God still loves you the same. How many's ever believed that if you did the dumbest thing in the world, God didn't love you the same? I guess I'm the only one. I'm the only one. See, you make a big mistake, man, God must not love me less. He must not love me like He did before. His love is not constant. Do you think that's a problem today, that people think God's love is up and down for them based on their performance? It's a problem. And it keeps them from living in truth. I want to live in victory. I want to learn the truth. I want to know what God says about morality. I want to know what God says about marriage. Now, I can go around saying, God saved me by unmerited favor. He saved me by grace. Why don't you look in the principles too, so you can live in the truth, so you can be victorious? listen very closely, you can be miserable and on your way to heaven. Because you're real big on grace, but you're not real big on truth. Y'all with me? How many's ever seen a miserable Christian? I mean, they can't even laugh. They can't laugh, can't make a joke, can't be casual. Just be you. You don't have to put on a theological mask here. Just be you. Just be yourself. I grew up in church, and I've seen a lot of theological masks put on. A lot of people think they have to put on some kind of performance or some kind of act. Guys, you don't have to put on an act. Be you. See, I don't know about you, but that's really life-changing for me that I can be myself. Look at your neighbor and say, just be you. That's scary for some of you to say that because you know that person. Just be you. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. We don't have to put on an act, right? You can be blessed with truth. John 17, Jesus said, your word is truth. Listen, we got to consult the Bible when we make a decision. What does the Bible say when it comes to treating people? What does the Bible say about these things? Guys, we need to obey the word. See, it's bad to live in a performance-based relationship without grace and truth. Guys, don't be a miserable person and be on your way to heaven. And don't live in victory. You have no victory in your life. Obey God. I'm sorry, but sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't give a real deep revelation, but I feel like I have to give you a basic here. Obey God. What does God say? Jesus said, we learned this in Sunday school this morning. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? Are y'all with me? See, if we want to live in victory, we must be willing to obey God and listen to what He has to say to us in the Word of God. It's important. It's so important. We've got to make a choice of grace and a choice of truth. Do you have a concept of grace in your marriage? Do you have a concept of unmerited favor in your marriage, in your relationship? It's important. Listen, if your marriage is not grace-based, it's fear-based. You live in fear all the time because you're afraid you're not doing enough to be loved. You're afraid you're not doing enough to be worthy to be loved. You got to have grace. Listen, your marriage needs to be oozing with grace. Grace all over your marriage. Grace all over your relationship. See, some of us, we've already gave thought to divorce. We've already gave thought, maybe I should separate. I made a mistake. Everybody say grace. It's not the way to go. That's not the way out. We always want the quick way out, don't we? The less hard way, right? I gave an example this morning in Sunday school about a GPS. And these GPSs have been updated. This is not a 1999 GPS. This is an updated GPS. So I'm using this GPS one day, and it's telling me to go the long way around. And I'm like, no, I am not going that way. I am totally not going that way. Why would I go that way? Stupid. But anyways, I looked at the GPS, and I went the way that it told me not to go, and I ran into standstill traffic, and it took me forever to get to my destination. Forever. Because I was wanting to go the short way. Are y'all still with me this morning? I really hope you're getting this morning. Some of us want to go the quickest way, and we want the quickest way out because it's more convenient, it's easier, and a lot of us think that separating from our spouse or divorce is easier. It's not. It's not easier. And you say, well, Pastor Sam, this is not a popular message. I know. I know it's not popular. But guys, it's not the easy way out. It's not. Guys, even if God tells you to go the long way around, go the long way around. Right? Go the long way around. Everybody say, make a choice of grace. Make a choice of truth. Guys, if your marriage is performance-based, it'll be fear-based. See, Jesus was 100% grace, and He was 100% truth. How many's ever read the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they came into the wilderness? And we have this question, how can they accuse God? We have this question, how can they accuse God of doing all this to them after they seen manna come from heaven, after they seen the Red Sea part, and we think about that. How can they say this about God? God brought them out of Egypt. Do you know what their problem was? Y'all waiting for me to give you an answer? Their problem was is they saw God through a Pharaoh filter. Because they had been stuck in the wilderness for 400 years. And when they come out of Egypt, they couldn't get rid of the mentality of a performance-based relationship. Y'all ought to shout over that. Because this little baby right here is shouting. She's being herself. She shouts. She's praising God. Y'all ought to shout over that. The children of Israel, they come out of Egypt and they were stuck. How long were they stuck in Egypt? 400 years. If you were stuck in a place for 400 years, you'd probably start thinking about, you'd probably start thinking like them, wouldn't you? If you're stuck there for 400 years. So they come out of Egypt and they can't get rid of the mentality and they're looking at God like he's Pharaoh. And that's why they keep accusing God. You're doing this to us. You're doing this to us. Even though God was giving them the miracles that they could see with their own eyes. And some of us have come out of Egypt saved. And we've come into a relationship with God based on performance and not grace. And that's why we're up, down, up, down. God don't love me one day. I'm so defeated. But if you're living by grace and it's a grace-based relationship, you know that God is committed to you no matter what. Some of us got that, some of us didn't. Y'all get it? Y'all get the point? I want to say, preacher, you're not preaching real hard this morning. You're not preaching real fast. I'm slowing down so we can understand what we're going to shout about today. Amen, church. Grace and truth. Guys, we come out of Egypt, but we're still relating to God as we did to Pharaoh. Listen, they were beaten and they were whipped and they were intimidated. We let Father God intimidate us. Ooh, we're living in fear. There's torment in fear. There's no fear in love. The Bible says that. He's a loving Father. And see, there's a lot of people, they can't come to the loving Father today because they view him as a taskmaster. Somebody who's going to strike me with lightning. When I make a mistake or when I fall, and they look at it as a performance-based relationship, not a grace-based. Grace-based. I know it's not a popular message, but guys, it's the truth. Everybody say grace and truth. And the children of Israel, they kept challenging God, but a loving God was trying to take them into the promised land, but they couldn't receive it. And you know what else we do? We take that into our relationship with God. Guess what else? Guess what other relationship we take that mentality to? Y'all want to tell me? What are we preaching on this morning? And we take that same mentality into our marriage, and everything's performance. Everything's performance-based. And we think we're loved less, we're loved more. Listen, when you understand grace, then you'll have a successful and blessed marriage. And it's dependent upon the husband and the wife to understand grace. See, when you've been raised in a performance-based environment, you'll say, God is going to get you. He's going to get you. And when you do something good, you say, oh, since you did something good, God's going to give you something good. And this is what we do. We turn God into a business transaction. Like he's some kind of businessman. And we turn him into a businessman instead of a loving father. If I do good, I get good. And that's all they serve God for is good. And so they look at him as a taskmaster. Y'all with me? Now, God does correct us. Amen? But everybody say, you got to think about grace. You got to think about grace. It's unmerited favor. Grace. Unmerited favor. See, we love the Lord. A lot of us love the Lord, but we can seek the Lord through a filter that's not full of grace and truth. See, grace means I'm saved by his blood, and truth means I want to honor him with my life to live in victory. Guys, you can make a choice today. Now, the problems that's in your marriage or in your relationship, you can say, well, it was so-and-so's fault, or it was somebody else's fault. Today, you could change the direction of your marriage and your relationship. You could change it. And I may not be talking to anybody here. I may be talking to somebody on Facebook, because we're on Facebook Live. If you're having troubles and it's getting to the point to where, man, something's got to change, start thinking about grace and start letting grace into your relationship with your spouse. Because we're not letting love be constant for each other in our relationship. See, the greatest thing we can do for the world is show the gospel through our marriage. Grace and truth will dramatically change your marriage. Why do you think we got a marriage class on Sunday mornings? Marriages are falling left and right, and we're ignoring it like it ain't a problem. It's a problem. You got to define it as a problem, and if it's a problem, then maybe the church should step up and do something about it. Right? What about young people? Guys, start reading about marriage now. Get you a book that says, I'm single and loving it, and I'm praising God, and God will send me the right one. See, I'm known to be transparent, okay? Man, I've dated the wrong one. Messed up. And this is our pastor? Somebody say amen. Amen. Messed up. Picked the wrong one. Ran off and left God because I don't like to be by myself. Because I'm tired of being lonely. Tired of being alone. I got to have somebody in my life. You better seek the Lord first, because you're about to mess up if you don't seek the Lord first. Amen. Single people. Yes. Single, y'all with me? Talk about things before you get married. Talk about giving. Talk about tithing. Talk about how much you want to go to church. Talk about these things. How much time you want to spend, how many kids you want to have. I could go on, but y'all get the point. You got to talk about these things. You can't just expect, well, we're going to go into the relationship and God's going to take care of it. Yeah, He will, but you got to make some choices. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're responsible for your decisions. You're responsible for your choices that you make. And guys, my message to you today is you better let grace into that relationship. You better let truth into that relationship. And you better love each other. Because the quickest way out is not the way out. It's not. We have a marriage class. People go to the marriage class. They get help. Guys, go to marriage conferences. How many's ever heard of First Things First in Chattanooga? Go to that. Go to those conferences. There's a big word. It's called intentionality. You got to be intentional about your marriage. Great marriages don't just happen. They happen because you want it to happen. Because you want your marriage to happen. Because you want your relationship to happen. And guys, the choices you make right now, it will affect your children, your grandchildren down the road. So I don't know about y'all, but I want to choose life. I want to choose blessing. Go to marriage conferences. Go to a marriage class. Be willing to admit you're wrong. Be willing to say, I'm sorry. Be willing to say, I'm sorry, I forgive. Yes, I was wrong here. Let's try to work together and make this work out. Can I preach a little bit longer this morning? I don't know if y'all are in, if this is blessing you or not, this is where the Lord's leading me, okay? Do you know what the number one cause of divorce is? In this nation, some people say it's infidelity, unfaithfulness, adultery. It's not. It's finances. It's money. Guys, what does the Bible say about money? You got it. You can't love it. Does the Bible tell us to tithe? Does the Bible tell us to give? Does the Bible tell us to go into debt?
No.
See, nobody likes to hear that, do they? Everybody smile, okay? Guys, you got to talk about these things and see what the Bible says and say, you know what, we need to make some choices. We need to be intentional. Everybody say intentional. It don't, things, great things don't just happen out of nowhere. You got to be willing to obey God. That's the victorious life. To be obedient to God and say, God, teach me how to steward my finances properly. Because listen, if you're going to steward your finances properly, you got to communicate with your spouse. And that's something that we don't do. We don't communicate. Well, I didn't know that about you. We've been married for over a year. I had no idea. Because I'm telling you, there's distractions galore out there. Galore. To keep you from sitting down and having a nice peaceful evening with your spouse. Because your phone is going off. The internet is there. Facebook is there. Twitter is there. Instagram is there. Pinterest is there. I mean, everything is going on, and you don't even have time at one day out of your week to sit down at a dinner table and have a nice conversation with your spouse and with your children. But you can't blame it on anybody else. Are y'all with me? Y'all remember me saying that earlier in the sermon? In the message, you're responsible for your own choices. You got to make time. You got to make the choice. Everybody say intentional. You got to show some intentionality here. You got to be intentional with your marriage. You got to be intentional with these things. You may, Pastor, we're going to have to sacrifice. Yeah, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. Because when you get married, it's not, your life's going to change. Can I get an amen? Your life's going to change. Things will change. And since things change, listen, you know why marriage sometimes is kind of difficult and kind of hard? Because you have two imperfect people coming together, and they're going to live together, and they don't even know about their flaws yet. And all of a sudden, a few months down the road, year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, those flaws are starting to be exposed. And that's when the true test of love will be tested. That's when it'll be tested. Can I love my spouse through their flaws, through their failures, through their difficulties? Can I love them? Yeah, you can if you understand grace. You can if you understand grace, unmerited favor. The favor is there, not because of what she or he could do for me, but it's unmerited, it's unearned. My grace and my love and my attention goes to my spouse and to my children and to my family. Some of us, we have careers and jobs. It just eats up our time all the way into the weekend. And we can't turn off. So we can spend time with our family, with our spouse. Y'all with me? And we go, 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 go. And all of a sudden, we get weak, and that's when the enemy comes in and tempts us. Because we don't take time for our spouse, for our children. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, family matters. It matters. Take time for your spouse. Take time for your children. There's one day, and this is my personal values that I try to live by. There's one day out of the week I try to take that whole day and devote it to family and devote it to my wife. One day out of the whole week. And I can't tell you how many times we have been pulled away from that one day. I mean, you're just being pulled here, pulled there, pulled over here, pulled over there. And I'm telling you, when you start to make a decision to take one day out of your week to spend with your spouse and with your family, away, not with your buddies at work, not in the man cave, not with the beer. Can I get an amen? All right, but a day to spend devotedly to your spouse, to your family, and you take time for them. We're not perfect at it because there's things that do come up on Saturday. Y'all with me? But that's the reason why I try to take that day. Some people say, well, I wonder why a pastor ain't too talkative. I wonder why he ain't too social. Because that's a day that I'm trying to give my attention to her. That's my challenge to you today. You need to pick a day out of the week where you totally, totally focus on your spouse and your family and your children. And you say, yard sales, he said. And you know what? And throughout the week, we think, we spend enough time with each other in the evenings throughout the week. No, you watch TV. You're on the internet. You do other things. And it's bedtime before you know it. Now, that can be quality time sometimes. But not a lot. You got to take quality time for each other. You say, Pastor, you're not preaching a really feel-good message this morning where everybody's shouting and praising God and punching holes in the wall. And y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I'm trying to get your attention this morning. But guys, it's this preaching, it's this message that's stretching us and making us grow. Because I want you to leave from this sermon series thinking, man, my family matters. And I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be intentional about my marriage. And I'm going to make some choices. Husbands, you're spiritual leaders of your family. And I don't mean to keep going on and on, but the Spirit's leading me, okay? Can I preach a little bit longer? Husbands, you're the spiritual leader of your family. And you're waiting on your wife to take initiative for spiritual things. Y'all with me? Now, there's nothing wrong with her doing that. But you're the leader of your house. Start taking initiative and say, it's time to pray. You listening to me, men?
Men, you listening to me?
Take initiative. Now, we got to set this apart. This goes to God. This goes to God. We need to take time for each other. Set some values. Set some principles in your family life. Start loving each other. Be grace-based, not performance-based. Now, do you believe in a grace-based relationship? And I'm almost done, okay? In a grace-based relationship, there's no thought of ever separating. Y'all with me? Aren't you in a grace-based relationship with God? And do you think He has a thought about separating from you? Oh, come on. Somebody shout amen over that. He's never thought of it. He's never thought of, you know, I'm getting tired of him. I'm really getting tired of her, and I think we just need to go different ways. That's not grace. That's law. That's performance-based relationship. Now, if we're in a grace-based relationship with God, then we need to be in a grace-based relationship with each other. Amen. Come up here, wife. See, the devil don't want us to have a successful marriage. He don't want you to have a successful marriage either. And so I'm going to take this time to tell my wife publicly how much she means to me. Jesus is my foundation, but you're my support, and you're there for me, and you put up with me when I don't do things around the house like I should, when I say things that I shouldn't, when I do things that I shouldn't do. And your love is there for me. And that your love and your grace is constant. And I know that I don't have to fear or worry about you throwing me to the side and throwing me to the trash. And you don't look at me as trash, but as your treasure. And thank you that I don't have to live in torment and fear of whether or not you're going to throw me to the side. But I can love you and you can love me. And that we're going to preach the gospel in our marriage for everyone to see. Amen. Yes. Love you. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to come up here with your spouse and pray. And I want you to tell her or him how much they mean to you. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them how much they mean to you. Love them. You know what? When you tell them that, when they hear you say it and you look them in the face, man, it's like a just like a load. It's just lifted off your shoulders. And you're like, praise God, I'm not in a performance-based relationship. I'm in a grace-based relationship. I don't have to fear and I don't have to have torment because we have the same vision and the same goals, and that's to please God and to preach the gospel in our marriage. Amen. Let's all stand together. I hope these messages, these series of messages are blessing you. And